This is 69, the podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 69 has been covering the digital signage industry since the dawn of man, first online and now as a podcast. This podcast gives me the time to really talk to people about technology and issues, get past the PR and jargon, and into what stuff actually means. I try to help listeners understand why they should care. The podcasts are free, and I try to get a new one out weekly, but I travel a lot, so sometimes I'll miss a week. The 69 podcast has been gratefully sponsored and supported since the start by Jeremy Gavin and the fine folks at ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. ScreenFeed makes beautiful-looking, totally automated content for signage and digital out-of-home networks. Check them out at ScreenFeed.com. It's now really common that businesses of all sizes and types who decide to deploy some sort of digital signage network look to a solutions provider who will not only help it put it in, but help the client go from the idea stage all the way through to ongoing operations. Effectively, they're outsourcing the whole shoot and match to people who know what they're doing. That helps companies stay focused on what they're good at. Tulsa-based SageNet has been doing outsourced IT work for 20 years, and about 2 years ago, saw enough shaking among its core customers and enough requests for help to branch into digital signage and make it part of a very rich suite of services. The company brought on Ivy Dixon, who's been around the signage business forever, to help build out the signage business and function as a subject matter expert in a company that was more conditioned to selling IT network services. It's worked out. And the company's now mining a lot of new opportunities in verticals like C-stores and QSR. I had a great chat with Ivy about SageNet and SageView, what is described as a one-stop shop for everything signage. We also talk Opera. Yeah, Opera. So Ivy, thank you for coming on with me.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, Dave.
I looked up your profile on LinkedIn because, you know, we know each other, but I wasn't quite sure what your title was. And I started zipping through your career path and saw that you worked for an opera company at one point. And then I went a little further and saw you have a degree in like vocal stuff.
Now I have to go edit my LinkedIn. No, I'm kidding. you are correct. I
vocal
have,
music performance.
That is correct. Yes. Many years ago, in fact, decades ago, if I'm really honest with myself, I did get a music degree, and I did actually work in professional opera and professional music performance for the first part of my career. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. So you can actually sing.
I wouldn't say that maybe I'm in very good shape right now, but yes, there was a time where I was doing a lot of singing. So
you could do karaoke a lot better than I could.
Maybe depends on the song. You might have it. If we get into the wrong kind of karaoke battle, you might put me to shame.
I can't sing anything, so it's I would surrender before we even started.
well, I'll sit and we'll enjoy the evening together. So, but
yeah, I'm pretty good at sitting and watching people and scorning them.
There you go. Sounds good to me.
So, SageNet, you joined them 2-3 years ago?
2 years ago. Yep, 2 years ago. Actually, this month in September. So
that company was not on my radar at all in terms of digital signage. So probably the same for any number of people. So what's the company all about?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, SageNet, to be honest with you, 10 years ago, wasn't on my radar either. And that's actually when I met them, since you've looked through my LinkedIn. And so granularly, as you know, and many people know, my career in digital signage actually started back at NanoNation, and that's how I got introduced to SageNet. And SageNet was out looking for a digital signage software provider. They came to NanoNation, and then I was deeply involved with that account when I was there. SageNet, at its core, we're a managed service provider. And a managed service provider doesn't sound very exciting, but actually it's very important.
No, it's very exciting.
It's very important. It's very it's very key. But the reason that we got into digital signage was because technologies at retail, technology in public space, technology at financial institutions, is wide and varied, right? And so we, you know, SageNet over its 20 years has focused on traditional network and circuitry, right? Routers, switches, firewalls, as we used to joke. But those technologies are only a piece of that puzzle, and customers were coming to us saying, we need digital signage, we need cybersecurity, we need, you know, we need unified communications, we need managed Wi-Fi, we need analytics programs, that, and all of a sudden the portfolio starts to grow. You know, a couple years ago, what happened was I went back to SageNet and was talking to these guys, and they said, hey, we're ready to really look at how do we make this something other than just a piece of the puzzle and make it a major piece of our business. And that is where what we now refer to as SageView, which is what we refer to as our digital signage practice, was kind of born and grew out of. And it is a fully managed turnkey service. And to be totally honest with you, that's something that excited me when I started, still does to this day. We go front to back. You can come to us for the consultative nature of how do I do this? Why do I do it? What am I supposed to do? But all the way through acquisition of hardware, configuration, installation, and then we get to our true bread and butter, which is day two and beyond. When we actually turn on the lights in that space, is the technology running? Is it running correctly? And are we, you know, is it doing what it's supposed to be doing? And by the way, when it breaks, because it's going to break, how quickly can we fix that problem either remotely or on site?
Oh, okay. And you are the director of this practice?
That's correct. Yep. So my official title, quote unquote, is director digital signage. I extend that to some extent on digital experience because, you know, we don't just do signage in that practice, but I work very closely with our sales and customer enablement folks, but then also work with our operations team internally to oversee this vertical and what we're doing in it.
I'm going to guess that because SageNet is a pretty big company, if I'm looking on the website and seeing that you're in 220,000 facilities, you got a couple of people working there and a few salespeople. Was your gig at first, or maybe it still is, a little bit of being kind of the sales engineer to kind of help the customer facing guys explain what on earth they should be doing and how you can help?
It's you're so intuitive, Dave. I always knew that, but no, you're exactly right. I mean, you know, we're a 400 person company and we do have a large sales team who are more generalist by nature, right? They're looking at our entire technology portfolio. But you want to help facilitate what they're doing when they get excited about one of these types of opportunities or when they have a customer who's excited about it. And, you know, you mentioned Rob Cefaletta. Many folks know him, and he's on my team. We have others that are specialists in this area, but we're really there to help facilitate. And yes, it is in some respects, it is a challenge. However, in other respects, I really look at it as an exciting piece of the job. And I joke with our sales team because they always give me a hard time about being passionate. If you know me at all, you probably put that word on what I do. I always say, you get me the job. You find the job, somebody who wants to buy signage or experiences, I'll bring the passion. I got it. Right. So that's a big portion of what we do. But it also is a challenge because we do have, you know, 16 to 18 folks that are out there pushing buttons and trying to move around those environments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you mentioned Rob. He and I chatted recently, and I said, "So how are things going there?" He said, "It's amazing," because he was coming out of selling, you know, media player hardware.
Yeah.
And that's a tough slog, and you're battling against a whole bunch of different vendors. And he said, it's so refreshing. It's just amazing to go into meetings and I don't have to talk him into stuff. Like, they want it. They just want to know, how is this going to work?
He's right. And that is one of the beauties of what we do, right? We are bringing the entire solution to the table. Not everyone decides to utilize all of that, but we can have the conversation. And we talk a lot about trusted connections. If you talk to a SageNet person long enough, I guarantee you're going to hear that come out of their mouth. And what that allows us to do, when you look at the greater portfolio of what we do, whether it's very specific in signage or digital, or whether it's a combination of everything else we bring to the table, the reality is we can have the conversation. We can sit in the room and understand, yeah, you need an AV and IT provider that's going to be able to get you through the installation integration and then get you through day two and day 30 and day 200. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's 120, 130 people between two 24/7 NOC services groups who are there to help with those technology issues. Not everybody can say that, right? There's a mm-hmm. lot of people out there who can say, yes, we can get that installed and make sure it works. Not everybody can say, oh, 2 years from now when it breaks and the person who sold it's not there anymore and the guy who installed it doesn't work, you know, is retired or gone or, you know, doesn't do this anymore, we'll still be able to fix that and figure it out. Mm-hmm. And that's a big portion of it.
There's been lots of chatter for the last 2-3 years about how AV and IT are converging, but a lot of the integrators who've been playing in digital signage for a few years now really truly do come from the AV side. Mm-hmm. Is it advantageous for you guys to have much more of an IT pedigree?
That's a great question. I think it's interesting when you started with that question, I thought you might go a different direction and you know, I think it.
I'm erratic.
No, well, that's okay. That's a good thing. Keeps me on my toes, right? I think there are times where it absolutely plays in our favor, and I'll give a very clear advantage to that. When we own the network infrastructure, and when we have done work not only with their circuitry, but also with router switches, firewalls, and that general LAN WAN environment, we come to the table with an understanding of their technology environment that makes it substantially easier to then integrate technology on top of it, right? AV mm-hmm. technology. Mm-hmm. Where it can be a disadvantage is that there are many, many creative AV professionals out there who are doing very exciting things and may get viewed in a different way. I think the convergence, though, of the market space, I think you are right about the convergence of the market space. And I think the one key here is more and more IT professionals are being asked to lead AV environments and may or may not have that thought process. So if you're going in as a pure AV specialist, if the IT guy is asking you, can you help me out with this? He wants to have the same communication that he's going to have as an IT, you know, with an IT project as he is with this. And if right. you don't bring that to him, he's gonna struggle. He or she are gonna struggle with that environment because they may or may not understand the AV side. If you can put it in IT terms, they're gonna get it, and vice versa, right? So yeah, there is an advantage there. It doesn't always play in our favor, but it does many times.
Yeah, I could envision the AV guys wanting to do something and move a lot of files around, and the IT guy is saying, not on my network.
Right. you got it. You got it. And having that knowledge and that baseline for us to work with is very valuable. The other piece of that is our portfolio plays to everything that's being talked about today. Mm-hmm. So when you look at, you know, when an AV project comes up and somebody says, oh, we want to do a mobile integration. Well, now we have to be part of the Wi-Fi. Who owns the Wi-Fi? Oh, by the way, we potentially own all of that infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And if we don't, and there's no Wi-Fi, we could bring that infrastructure as part of the greater AV environment. There aren't a lot of folks that can say that they can do that. There are some out there, right? Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say there's none, but mm-hmm. but there's a lot of times where you got to pull those pieces together where we have that really under one roof.
Mm-hmm. And because you have 400 people and all these points of presence, I would imagine a lot of them are in Knox and some of them are in sales and so on. If you get into a mass deployment, some company comes to you like a bank and says, mm-hmm. we've got 3,000 branches. We want to install all of them in the next 6 months or whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. At that point, are you outsourcing the hang and bang guys, or is that all handled internally?
You know, it's a great question. Partners are still partners and third party vendors in some cases, but I really look for partners in this industry. Mm-hmm. Partners are still very, very key to what we do. And as big as we are in our own right, and as capable as we are inside of our four, quote unquote, four virtual walls, because we have five offices, we still have places where we have to lean on high quality third party providers and partners. So we are outsourcing some of that work. The difference there is we are deeply invested in the work that partner is doing, and they're deeply invested in us, right? We're not just mm-hmm. going out and finding somebody who says, yes, I'll do this work for you.
Two guys in a panel van.
You got it. We're finding relationships, whether it be with somebody like a Snap Install or, you know, that sort of thing that really drive forward that. But we're also we're set up in a very interesting model, which I like, where not only do we have a traditional project management, program management type environment, we also have someone who's highly, highly focused on the actual install or installs that may be going on in a day. And that person's focus is nothing more than, did the equipment get there? Did it get, you know, is it in the right place? Is the technician on time? Did the installation get checked out through our test and turn up group? That core focus takes the pressure off of the program manager to then focus more holistically on the project.
Okay. So I'm, let's say, a big energy company with five offices around the U.S.
Sure.
And I come to SageNet and SageView and say, we want to start doing corporate communications. We don't know anything about this. Please help us. You mentioned front-end consulting to get them thinking about what they should be doing. When it gets into hardware and software and display, how do you sort out who to work with? Because, you know, you come out of software, you know how many options are out there, and it becomes a delicate dance as a quasi-integrator to find your partners and not alienate other ones.
It does. And that is a massive challenge that I would not say we've always gotten right. But I also wouldn't say we've always gotten it wrong, right? We've been pretty successful over the last 10 years with what we've done. Mm-hmm. What I would say is it goes back to that partner methodology that we use for third-party providers. When we look for a key piece of our solution, like a screen vendor, and by the way, it's screen vendors, right? Mm-hmm. And to be totally honest with you, it's software vendors. But in those scenarios, we take extensive time to evaluate look through, find out which ones run the best, but also which ones do we trust? Why do we trust them? What are the pieces and parts that rise to the top? And when you start to look at that list, although there's 300 plus in that software category, the list shrinks very fast.
Yeah.
And that list becomes a few that you are regularly talking to, looking for, trying to figure out which deals they're in, and then really trying to understand how do we better utilize what's out there. And that trust factor goes up as you start to roll out with that. So, the market space has, software or not, right? And I said to somebody recently, yes, I came from software, but between consulting on my own for 4 years plus, a few different jobs, I've seen a lot of software out there. It's kind of like screens. It's kind of like mount manufacturers. They all play a very key role. You have to find those ones that you feel the most comfortable with, because you're going to be sitting there with them for potentially a long time. Mm-hmm. And if you don't pick the right one, or if you don't pick the right one for a specific job, you're potentially going to have, you're going to put yourself in a hole pretty quickly. That's where I also lean on, just because I have the director title doesn't mean I'm the only guy, right? There's 400 folks here, but there are some very talented folks in my solutions architect group, my engineering group, and then guys like Rob Sofletta, who have, a decade of experience in pure hardware. I really go out and reach and pull and try to pull that together to say, what is the best solution for SageNet? Mm-hmm. What is the right outcome? Because we want to bring best of breed solutions to the table each time we go to the market space. And we have to feel confident in that going into each of these sales.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed. Now, I'm not put off by the fact that you're not listening to this podcast to hear me. Just like audiences to any digital signage, you give your attention to content you find interesting or helpful. That's where my company ScreenFeed comes in. Our sole mission is to make your digital signage network more valuable by making content that is more valuable to your audience. If you'd like to drive more attention to your screens, visit ScreenFeed.com to explore the 75 plus content options we've created to do just that. And then give us a call. Now, back to the podcast.
So I've noticed over the last 5 years in particular, a real shift all the way from SMB businesses to, enterprise grade businesses, where they all want to outsource this stuff. They just want somebody to help them figure out the whole damn thing. They don't want a rogues gallery of different vendors who are all intertwined and finger pointing when there's a problem. They want the proverbial one throat to choke. In the context of what you guys do, does it include things like content management and scheduling and distribution and all those things? Or is it much more the technical side?
No, it's... it does include it. So, and the reason I hesitate there for a minute is because I want to find the right words to put to this. I'm very, very clear with customers, prospects, and clients. We do not have creative staff under our roof. It is the one piece of the puzzle that we have said very clearly from a personnel perspective, from a people perspective, this is the arena we're not going to step into. Uh-huh. Now, at the same time, we do have staff that we say, oh, you want us to schedule and traffic that content? You want us to make sure it's getting to the place that you expect it to get while we monitor and maintenance that? Sure, we'll take on that role, and we do for many customers. So that's a task-oriented activity that fits directly in line with the other IT type activities that we're doing. I think to your point, the market has shifted away from, I'm going to go find this vendor and I'm going to go find this vendor and I'm going to go find this vendor as the client. And then I'm going to put all these together and I'm going to try to be as much of an SME as possible. They've moved to, you know, something that's actually much more valuable to us, obviously, which is a core managed service environment, which is, hey, bring me the best in breed. Go boil this ocean, right? Boil it out to the top three or four in each category. Come and tell me why those are great and important, and then give me a solution that I think is going to be good. And oh, by the way, make sure it works and make sure I don't have to worry about it from a content perspective. I'm going to give you the content, or I'm already engaged in a creative experience with an agency. We do have those customers, many of them, who come to us and say, we don't have an agency or we don't have the creative bandwidth. And in that scenario, we go back to that partner group. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, you bring in-house creative people into an IT environment, and you know, it's just such a culture clash.
Yeah, that's such a nice way to put it. No, I kid. All of my IT and AV friends and my creative friends, I do kid. It is a culture clash because they don't work on the same terms.
No.
Right. But they do have to be in the same arena to make these experiences work the way that they're supposed to for the customer. Mm-hmm.
So where is their traction in the marketplace right now? I keep hearing corporate communications is the thing that's really happening these days.
You know, that it's a great question. Corporate communications is out there, and we are seeing some traction there. You know, I think that goes along with this massive push of collaboration and collaborate, right? The meeting room mm-hmm. type environments. That is actually not a space that we've spent a lot of time in. It is valuable. There is a lot of business there, and I think we're seeing some of that traction. I would tell you, for us in our core verticals over the last 20 plus years, which are retail, QSR, financial, you know, call it C-store if you separate that from retail. Some people do, some people don't. Mm-hmm. We are still seeing those markets boom in digital menu board, right? And the C-store market specifically and the QSR market, they are booming in both indoor and outdoor, partially because there is still growth in those markets, right? But there also is the price point coming down is still a major factor there, right? Convenience stores 5-10 years ago couldn't look at this technology because it was way out of balance from a price perspective. Mm-hmm. You know, even post the conversion, you know, the first high def conversion, or even if you go back to plasma into LED or LCD, right? People were just like, yeah, that's great. I don't have that kind of money to make that kind of conversion in a store that runs on, you know, pennies of return. That's changing now. The technology is coming down. The life of the technology is longer. The value proposition is much higher. So when you look at convenience stores specifically, the convenience stores are spending real money on getting you out of the pump and into the store. And the way they're doing that is primarily through made to order. And made to order food, when you look at the Wawa's and the Quick Trips and even the Mavericks and the you know, Bucky's and Casey's General Store and Come and Go, and the list is lengthy, right? You're talking about a group that is finding a way to change the way that C-store is viewed by the user and by the end customer. And it is through getting them inside. And when they get them inside, it's a made-to-order buy of food, and that equals a digital menu board. Hmm. And so we are still seeing that as a major growth point for us. Same as QSR, but QSR is taking it one step further and saying, the indoor is still important, but what's going on in the drive-thru? And the drive-thru is still a place where we are seeing people saying, how does drive-through and digital come together to change the way someone buys? Because they're still dealing with the same problem they had 15 years ago. How do you get somebody to buy, make sure they buy a drink when they come through the drive-through? Mm-hmm. How do you get them to buy one of extra item in that basket? Because it dramatically changes the value of that sale. And digital, that this is that plays into it, and that's where this becomes valuable.
And that's a lot more complicated job than an indoor menu board as well. I mean, you're talking in some respects, it's a construction project in a lot of cases.
That it is a construction project, and interestingly enough, as long as I, you know, I've got almost 14 years, well, a little over 14 years in this industry, I learned very clearly about the outdoor world the day I showed up on site at SageNet 2 years ago, and that knowledge base has come fast and furious because the fire hose was on, right? But I had to pick up that knowledge and understand and run with it. But I've got guys on my team like Jim O'Donnell and Dale Higginbotham who have spent years putting together these solutions to say, what are the gotchas? What are the issues that are there? And how do you get through those construction processes? And how do you make that easier? And by the way, to your question earlier about IT, that's where our experience really shines, because we're already in that construction new build type environment many times with what we're doing from a back end IT perspective. Mm-hmm.
You mentioned gotchas. When you go in with a new customer for the first time, whether it's a brand new customer or an existing customer who's doing other stuff with your company already, and you start the discussion and say some form of, okay, why am I here?
Right.
What's the kind of advice that you're providing to these folks? I suspect many of them are much more further along the curve than they were 14 years ago when you first started doing this stuff.
Oh, are they? They're a lot farther along, partially because most of them have this technology, some form of this technology in their living room. And some people think that that's more valuable than others when they start the discussion with me. But the real key to the discussion when we start with them is let the experience talk for itself. When you have, you know, near a 250,000 devices running on the network and you have 20 plus years of experience in deploying in your exact market, retail, QSR, C-store, right? Financials, a close one down towards the bottom of that list. Let the experience talk for itself. And when you look at outdoor specifically, right, people come to you and they say, well, somebody last week told me that outdoor is the same as indoor. The first time I heard that, I paused for a second and I said, I don't know. Do you know the concrete rating of the pedestal that your menu is on today and whether it will handle 250 mile an hour straight wind? And the guy looked at me and he goes, I don't know. Why is that important? I said, well, because you're putting an almost 400 pound device on that concrete. And if it falls over on the car, that's going to be a problem. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, the experience comes to light, and that becomes a whole different conversation when you start to have that. So the gotchas are no longer what kind of cable connects that up. It's no longer, do we use HDMI or do we use DVI or what are my converters or how do I get content there? Those discussions have become standard and expected. It is now things that people are going, yes, I want this technology in my drive-through. What does how do you ship a 400 pound, 7 foot wide, 6 foot tall, 3 board menu to somebody's site? And how do you get it onto the pedestal and make sure it's tied down and make sure the electrical's tied up correctly? Right. That is not a one person no. job. And by the way, almost none of that has to do with the signage, because that's before you even turn on the screens. Right. So you got to get content lined up. You got to get the screens lined up, but then you've got this huge quote unquote construction project associated with it. And that's a very different conversation, to your point, than it was 14 years ago. But it also is about experience and time in the market, and how do you make that work to your benefit and to the outcome. And if you don't hold their hand through that, to be honest with you, you're doing them a disservice in many ways. The project's also not going to go well for anybody, right? And then we have the same problem that we had 14 years ago, which is signage looks bad to the greater public when those projects don't work well. And so how do you, you know, and so then other people won't buy it. And then our industry isn't progressing the way that it should. And so the outcome is the outcome of the problem is the same as 14 years ago. The problem itself is different.
All right, Ivy, thank you. That was a great chat.
Hey, thank you very much, Dave. I appreciate it. And good to talk to you.
That's it for this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it and you learned a thing or two. If you're new to 16.9, it's a podcast that's been around since 2016. You can click around the site and find scores of conversations with smart industry folks. If you're new to digital signage, you need to be reading 16.9. That's at 16-9.net. You'll find thousands of posts by me and expert guest writers about this industry. I don't run a press release republishing mill. If something makes it on 16.9, that means it matters in some way to the business. Everything about 16.9 is free. Great sponsors make my work possible, and one of those is podcast sponsor ScreenFeed. Check them out at screenfeed.com. 16.9 is a product of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare room in my house, now located outside Halifax, Nova Scotia, on the east coast of Canada. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.